So this summer, we are going to revisit one aspect of our last preaching series that was based on the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It was a series that we taught and participated in together as small groups with a book study. It really focused on helping each of us deepen our walk with Jesus Christ, as we invited Him to walk with us in all aspects of our lives, including the parts that were hidden below the surface, with this whole iceberg image that was there and prevalent in this whole series about allowing God to transform us. As we invite Jesus to walk with us, that He would transform us from the inside out. And during this series, we were introduced to the concept of the rule of life. You remember that in one of the sessions, one of the chapters was, we talked about the rule of life. And we invited, at that time, we were invited to begin to develop, or at least to begin to incorporate aspects of a rule of life into our daily routine. And as it was explained, a rule of life is not just another list of to-dos for us to check off, something that we can add to our already busy lives. I mean, when you think about it, in the sound of it, it sounds like, oh man, another list, another thing for me to do. We didn't want to see it as adding more things that become a greater burden to keep up with us, or to keep up in this walk with Jesus. And so that we would even see these things as things that we use to get God's attention, or that He would have His favor, that we'd earn His favor. But we were introduced to the idea of a rule of life, which is really just another way of describing a set of ancient practices or spiritual disciplines that help us to experience the transforming presence of Christ in everything, and that we can then extend His grace to the world around us. The idea of rule actually comes from the Greek word, which is meaning trellis. And I see it's pictured there. And a trellis is really a tool that enables a grapevine or a flowering plant to get off the ground and to grow upward. It's kind of natural and innate within these plants to kind of crawl upward. And so it provides a structure. It provides a form, something to grow and be fruitful. And in the same way, whether we admit it or not, we need some level of structure to flourish and grow in our everyday lives and in our spiritual lives. I mean, think about your typical day. How many things that happen within a sense of routine, even in your typical day? I mean, whether it's the time you get up, the way you prepare yourself for the day. If you have a dog, you have to take your dog for a walk at a certain time, and there's that routine there. Maybe you check your Twitter feed. Maybe you eat breakfast. You make your... put your Facebook status up there for the day, if that's part of what you do. You get the kids off to school, the work day starts, you go into your office or your place of work, or you go to school, and you have your routine. Maybe it's your exercise plan, part of what your routine is in terms of exercise, your eating plan, and on. There are routines. There are structures that we already have. And even those who would say that they like to live on the fly, they might be considered more free-spirited in their lives, even they have some aspects of pattern or structure in their lives. And so when we talk about a rule of life, ancient practices that help us to experience Christ's presence and His transforming work in our everything, we are talking about intentionally building a structure or a trellis to help us grow upward, to help us in our walk with Jesus to grow upward, to become fruitful, to flourish. Whether we see our lives as a flower or a grapevine, whatever your picture and your image is the best. But the idea is, with a rule of life, and we're going to be talking about a number of different things over the course of this summer, as we seek to center our lives in Christ, helping you to build structure so that you can grow and flourish and bear fruit in your life. It's interesting, in the infoblast, if you read it this week, Julia quoted something from the book, God in My Everything. This is the book. There's some great readings and some great ideas and great challenging thoughts in terms of rule of life. And she quoted something out of this book, and it's interesting. I had underlined that statement, and I thought, I'm going to kind of start off my message with that. And it's like she was reading my sermon notes. And Because this was what she had quoted in the book, or in the info blast, and it's from Ken Shigematsu, and this is what he says. The goal, excuse me, the goal of having a rule is not to achieve a balanced life per se, but to live with Christ at the center of all we do. When I read that, and I thought, so much of even spiritual discipline and developing, it's almost like, oh, I got to live more balanced. It's finding balance in my life. And yet, when I read that, I thought, no, it's not about living a balanced life. But it is, just like he says, it is to live our lives with Christ at the very center of all we do. I think this states so well the goal of our summer series, and that it is to live with Christ at the center of all we do. To live with Christ at the very center. We're not looking to add on or take away in order to find a more balanced life, that we can find a little more of that and a little less of that so that we can find a good equilibrium in all things. We want more than balance. It's almost like balance is not enough. We want to live our lives and experience Christ at the center of all we do. I thought of this song. And I looked on our song list, and it wasn't a part of our song list that we sing, so I didn't feel confident enough to introduce this song as a new song this morning. But let me read the words of the song, because it states it so very well. And you might even know the song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say it. Jesus, be the center. Be my source. Be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be my hope. Be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live, Jesus. Be my vision. Be my path. Be my guide, Jesus. I think that chorus expresses the heart of what we want to encourage each other. We want to be encouraged in this summer. It's almost like the summer season gears change. Even if you have a regular 12-month, a year job, there is something that kind of clicks in this season. That there's a change in routine. And it's an opportunity for all of us just to kind of think deeply and to consider, what are you inviting me into? Not only for this season, but even beyond, as we begin a new season in September and beyond that. And I think the summertime is a good time for us to reflect on that and to make this invitation. Jesus, be the center, be my source and be my light, be my hope and be my song. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, be my vision, be my path, be my God, my guide. When Jesus walked this earth doing miracles, explaining the kingdom of God, he faced lots of opposition. Most of it came from those who were religious. They really struggled with the relational aspect of what Jesus was declaring. They really struggled with this idea of inviting God, inviting Jesus to be the center of their lives. The law was the center of their lives. The law was their focus. And they really struggled with this aspect of inviting God to be in relationship with them. They were hung up with the rules and regulations as a means of satisfying God's requirements and gaining his favor. One day, after Jesus was doing what he did, and after he had silenced the critics, there was one more lawyer who had a question. And Jesus took time for this question. I'd like to just read it in Matthew 22. When the Pharisees heard he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. So the question asked by this lawyer, what is the most important law? What do I really have to do to get God's attention? What? Just to narrow it down, what do I do to earn God's favor? And Jesus, in answering this question, went back. He went way back. He went back to a time when God's people had very little understanding of what a relationship, what a friendship with God really looked like. He went back to a time when the only rule of life they lived by was set by their Egyptian taskmasters. Jesus went back to a time when ingrained in their minds, in the people of Israel, the only thing that was on their mind was, how can I please my master? Or how can I stay out of trouble? How can I make enough bricks? How can I make enough mortar? How can I just do what has to be done so that I don't get whipped? That was their rule of life. For 400 years, Israel had lived as slaves, completely dependent on Egypt for their existence. Work was their destiny. Everything was done at the pleasure of the Egyptian masters. And then God delivered them from slavery. He was calling his people back into a relationship with him. He had never left them, though they thought they had been forsaken. He was always there. Often the imagery in the Psalms and the prophets describing this time in the life of Israel depicted God as a father who was calling out to his children, longing to be a father to his children. Often there's even the image of a mother cradling her children in her arms like a hen with her chicks. There was so much love and affection that was a part of this relationship between God and his people that God desired. But after 400 years of slavery, it had broken down somewhat in their thinking. God began to build it up by establishing the law. And he gave them a law that had God at its center, the love of God at its core, at its very heart. It was this law that Jesus referred to when asked by a lawyer, what is the most important commandment? Jesus went back to Deuteronomy, and he quoted something out of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 6, 4, 9, it says this, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must, hear it, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And it goes on. Jesus didn't quote this part, but it goes on. And he says, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, when these words were spoken, Israel was preparing to take on and to move into a land that was filled with people who served many different gods. And it would be difficult for them to remain true to their roots. And so God is giving, or Moses is giving them some guiding principles to help them live out God's design for their lives. A design that was built on relationship, a relationship of love. And he reminds them to make the love of God central to their lives. Nurture this relationship above all, and they will live. He doesn't outline a rule of life, but he does remind them that within the routine and in the busyness of life, this is to be remembered. It is to be intentionally acted upon. And it does inspire us. And it does encourage us to do the same. Truth is, our lives are full. There is a lot going on. There's family, there's work, there's school, there's activities, and there's church. And add whatever other things are going on. There's a lot going on. And our walk with Christ, our Christianity can so easily become just another one of those things that we do, one of those boxes we tick off on our to-do list, and just as easily it can become an inconvenience. Our walk with Jesus, following him and learning and growing in him, can simply become an inconvenience, a thing that we just stop doing. Jesus quotes the words of Moses to this lawyer, who was interested in making sure his I's were dotted and his T's were crossed. And Jesus reminds this man about what Moses had warned his people about so many years before. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Keep the love of God at the center of all you do. Listen again what he said. Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." God's design for you is built upon this foundation of this declaration that the Lord is our God. And if God is God, one and truly unique, worthy of our worship, then we will make choices that will enable us to walk his way. Now, when we're having dinner with our families, our friends, we may not declare it every time we sit at the dinner table. Hear, O family, the Lord is our God. He is one. But when we sit down and eat, we acknowledge God's presence. We acknowledge that he is our source and that what we have and enjoy is from him. In different ways of life, in life, as the day passes, as circumstances come, we seek to affirm God's presence and involvement in our lives. A rule of life reminds us that God is at the center of all we do. Stopping, perhaps, for a few moments to reflect on who God is in silence. Celebrating Sabbath rest, stopping from our work and worshiping and enjoying God. Reading, meditating on God's word, listening for God's direction and leading. It's going to be a number of things that we're going to be talking about over this summer season, which are opportunities for us to declare in our lives in small ways, "Hear, O Lord," or "Hear, O Lord, the Lord is one. He is God." Every time we intentionally plan to grow in this way in our walk with Christ, we are making that declaration. We are saying, "God, you are my source." Moses goes on and he says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you." Notice in this phrase how many times the word "all" is repeated. The emphasis here is on the totality, the completeness of the love for God in everything. God's design that Moses was declaring to the people of Israel is the same dream that we are called to keep alive today. Love God. Love God with everything that you are, with everything that you have. Developing a rule of life is building a structure. It's building a trellis for this love of God to grow. That's really another way to look at it. It's an opportunity to build a structure for the love of God to grow in your life. It's not an activity or practice that will make me more acceptable to God. It's not a means for my love or for God's love for me be greater, but it is a means for my love for God to grow. Giving attention to God's love, seeking to understand how this love finds expression in my life and actions. For example, as a parent, I'm not able to pass on a principle I do not personally live by. If love for God does not permeate my heart, it will be hard for me to convince my kids of that. It's impossible to convince my child of the value of honesty if I am dishonest. It's impossible to convey to my children the necessity of clean lips if I habitually practice profanity. It's impossible for children to grasp the importance of compassion and care for others if their parents don't care about people and leave hurt people in their trail. But our love for God must be an all-encompassing love in every aspect of our lives, a deep-down dedication of ourselves to God, and a rule of life. These disciplines that will be encouraged to grow and develop in our life helps us to keep God's love at the very center. Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 9, it goes on and says, Moses talking to the people, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder. Wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. One of the key ways we learn is by repetition and structure. That's what Moses is telling the families of Israel with these words. Repeat the lessons of life again and again to your children. Talk about them. Post them in places you will be reminded of them. Make it your intentional practice to listen and to learn from God how to live your life, what it means to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I'm almost thinking that the writing it on your wrists and on your foreheads and on the doorposts and all those things, those are all just little statements that say, be intentional about making the love of God a part of your life. That's what a rule of life really is. I find it interesting that when Jesus was questioned about what was the most important command, he pointed the lawyer back to these words of Moses. He answered the question, but Jesus also reminded the lawyer about the heart of the issue. It is most important that the love of God be at the center of all you do. How can you do that? Well, that's our goal this summer. The Sundays that you're here, to encourage you, to give you some teaching out of the scripture and out of the example of Christ, to understand how we can develop this rule of life in our lives. Helping you to live with Christ at the center of all we do. Learning about some of the ancient practices, some of the spiritual disciplines that can be developed and incorporated into our lives. Learning to enjoy God's presence in the midst of the busyness of our lives. Seeing God's love on the doorposts of our lives. Recognizing Christ's presence tied to our foreheads and bound to our wrists. Speaking about his love in our coming and in our going as we live life together. Does this sound overwhelming? Does this sound like too much? I forgot all about all these wonderful slides I prepared. There they are. How awesome that is. And takes me back to the last one. I'm so carried away here. Back to the image of this trellis. A structure. A framework to enable growth upward and flourishing. We may simply start by recognizing and affirming those parts of the trellis that are already in place. It may even mean simply, like we do with our tomato plants, putting one stick in the ground and wrapping a little cord around it just so that the tomato plant grows straight up. You may start there, developing and growing that rule of life. You may want to add others as you go along, as you grow, as you hunger for more, to develop other aspects of your Christian journey. Everyone of us are unique. Everyone is in a different place in our journey. But what I'm asking you, and I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us all, let us be open to what God is inviting you into today or even over these weeks of summer. What structure or framework for God or for growth is God inviting you to add into your life? What is God showing you that needs to be subtracted? Now, in the book that I mentioned, God in Your Everything, there's some notes that are given about some things to caution. I'm not going to go through all of them. But there are a few things that I want to say right at the beginning, and I know that it will be reiterated over the course of the different messages that we'll hear this summer. Start small. Start simple. Don't imagine that, oh, you know what, I'm going to parcel away so many hours of this, and so many of this, and this, and this, and this, and just filling up your life with all these great ideas of what it's going to be like to walk with Christ. If there's one thing that really captures your heart, start there. Start there, start simple. And then build slowly, like a healthy plant. Some root pruning will be required along the way. There's going to be some things you're going to recognize, you know what, I'm doing this, I'm growing in this direction, I got to cut this away, so that it can continue to grow and flourish. So build slowly and allow God to develop this rule of life, this Christ at the center of all that you do. And remember that there is strength and encouragement in community. Share your journey. Share what you're learning. Share what God is teaching you, and hold one another accountable in love. Not like a hammer over you teaching, do your work today. No, but since this is what God's been teaching me, how are you doing? How are you growing? Have you been keeping your Sabbath? Have you been able to take rest? Have you been able to hear what God is saying to you through Scripture in this week? There's such strength in community. And even in the summertime where there tends to be more of a kind of a going off, I appreciate what Julia said when we were handing out the bread and preparing to eat the bread. If God put somebody in your heart to invite into your home for dinner, that's community. That's part of sharing life together and encouraging one another in this rule of life. And so, as we look to see Christ at the center of our lives, may we be encouraged. Week to week, there's a number of different topics we're going to cover. Prayer and scripture reading, but also Sabbath, hoping to talk about solitude and silence, and talk about
play.
Play, right? Yes, the discipline and including play and having fun, delighting in God. The other ones are just kind of failing me right now. But there's a number of things that we're going to look at to help you. And if you do want to go deeper in it, again, this book was recommended by Marla to us, and we're reading it together, and I just encourage you as well. A great book, and definitely something that you can find strength from and encouragement for. So let's pray. I will give you a few minutes for some questions. If you do have any thoughts, questions, we'll do that in just a moment. Let me just pray. God, thank you for your word, your instruction. A reminder again to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, how we battle with that. So many other things come and push their ways into our lives and wrestle our attention away from you. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to build structures, to build trellises in our lives, our spiritual lives, in our walk with Christ, in our friendship with God, that would help us to grow and flourish. And to keep Christ at the center of our lives. And that as we grow, that your grace and love would overflow to the world around us. That our families would know that we love you. That our neighbors would know that we love you. That our work colleagues and our fellow students and wherever you place us to serve in this world, that there would be a sense of knowing that grace is flowing from our lives because you are growing us at the very core in our relationship with you. So bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name.